Dear Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the kingly anointing that is resting upon us right now, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, tabernacle upon his people. Lord, we thank you upon Mount Zion, upon all our assembly, that the glory of the Lord always be. That this glory of the Lord is for his defense. So that as you are living right now, Lord, to protect and guide the elect and get them ready for the great flight of the Lord. Father, we thank you. For because we live in this age, Lord, oh God. No, we couldn't have done it ourselves. No, you are the one that chose us. Say, I have chosen you, you haven't chosen me. I chose you. I ordained you. Bringing forth fruit, you said, oh God, unto life eternal. Lord, we thank thee. Bible says that you repent. No, as soon as that you know, shall receive wages. Lord, we thank you because we will not come to you empty handed. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. When thou givest your servant the prophet, account us worthy in that day, Lord, to also have rewards of you. Father, help us. Glory be to your name, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This morning, the believer's union with the Lord Jesus Christ. The believer's union with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we being believers can also be said our union with our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, many Bible verses tell us of this union, you know. Why do we have to study this union? Why do we have to study in the Bible and talk about it? Because when the elect of God, when we truly understand this union that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, what will happen is that, and let the truth of it really gain the ascendry in us. It will make us spiritual supermen. Amen for Jesus. Amen. When you really understand this union, we have an idea, but we haven't known as we really know, you know. You see? Make it to be spiritual supermen for the Lord Jesus Christ. Masters of demons, you know, and diseases. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's when we are in Christ Jesus. He made us to be. So, it will be the end of weakness and failure when we really truly understand our union with Christ. To meet to you in your life, the end of weakness and failure. There will be no more struggle for faith, struggling to have faith and something like that, you know. I think that, you know. And for all things are yours. Amen. Bible says so, all things are ours in Christ. Praise the Lord. And just giving us the idea of what understanding the union with Christ really will mean to us, or what it does in our life when we really know, understand it properly, you know. There will be no more praying for power, for he is in us. Amen. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. Praise the Lord. That is the simplicity of the God's word, really, you know. And there will no longer be the awful bondage of sin consciousness in the people's life, for we are the righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, all this I just said right now, and even many, many more, you know, of the truth of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ, we're talking about this morning, you know. So, let's jump into it right now. So, our oneness with the Lord Jesus Christ is twofold, actually, twofold. First, there is his oneness with our sin on the cross. And secondly, our oneness with him in his glory on the throne. Bible says so. Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. See, what wonderful words God speaking to his children like that, you know. Wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. Watch the word with Christ throughout this message this morning. Our union with Christ. Watch those words with Christ all over the place in the Bible, you know. To really make it sink in. To get ascendry in your spirit. Absorb it in your spirit. And see, as we follow through, I mean, we are to be changed from glory to glory, amen, as we read and hear the word of the Lord. In Romans 12, we talk about renewing our mind, right? Praise the Lord. The renewing of our mind. How do you do this? By the word of the Lord, by the promises of God. That's how you do it. You know, in Ephesians 5, I don't have them here. the washing of water by the word. Amen. That's how the bride gets itself ready. The washing of water by the word. See? So anyway, renew our mind. So with that idea. So so even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. He said, verse 6. And has raised us up together. You see? Union with Christ, right? No? We're going to see that scripture more and more here. Together. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Again, we're going to see more of that scripture down the road this morning. Now, the Lord Jesus became one with us in sin, that we might become one with him in righteousness. He became as we were, to the end that we might be as he is. Now, that's what he did for us. He became one with us in death, that we might become one with him in life. Now, just here, we were crucified with Christ. What the world with in this union? Union with Christ. Now, we were crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. See, with Christ, all over the place. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That goes for all Christians who will appropriate that thing. That's what you are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, at the moment that the apostle that God used to write this thing to us, at the time, the moment that he identified himself with the Lord Jesus Christ, what happened to him, and accepted the Lord as his Savior, and confessed him as his Lord, he became a crucified man to the Jewish people, really. Amen? His countrymen, he talked about it, his trouble, he had all kind of trouble and so on. He became a crucified man to the Jewish people. So are we too, people, we Gentiles and so on, to our fellow Gentiles and people of this world. When we gave our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, we became crucified to the world. The Bible says so, I just read now, to the world. Like Paul, we became an outcast to the world. That's who we are, So to the world. So now we can now relate to Galatians 6 verse 14. And it says, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. See? There are two ways crucifixion to it and something like that. The physical one. So anyway, we can't do that right now. Why many saints in the ages have died of crucifixion, we know that. There is another kind of crucifixion that does not really mean death, really, physically. It is one which all Christians can identify with. A kind of crucifixion that all Christians can identify with, really, That's in Romans 6:6. I want to read that. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. See the with him there. Union with Christ, in all kind of dimensions. So that's a type of Christian that all Christians can identify with, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, in that verse that I just read, now that old man means what? That old man, meaning that hidden man or the earth. When you see me, that's not me. This is the body I live in, right? Really, you don't see me. I'm in this body. This is just the temple that I live in. The temple of the living God, too, and so on like that, So that old man, really, is the real man, of the earth. The real man who was filled with spiritual death before he was saved, That's what he's talking about. That's what was crucified with that old man before he was saved, and so on like that, that old man of satanic nature before we were saved was crucified with Christ on the cross. See, that's type of crucifixion. You can relate to that. I can relate to it. So the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, not for himself. He didn't go there as a martyr. No, he went to the cross as our substitute. Amen. Oh, it's another. This is the another one morning. It will be Easter or whatever. But we can say this anytime, anywhere, anytime, any season. So he went there not as a martyr. He went there as our substitute. He named he nailed to his cross the things which were contrary to us. He did. That's in Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, laying it to his cross. This is that he did for you and me as Christians, you know. It's always good to spend a lot of time in the epistles, where in all the Bible reading, you know. Why the Jews? The mindset of those who crucified the Lord was that, oh, we got rid of him whom we hated, right? But in the mind of God, you know, it meant the Lord's identification with humanity in his sins and suffering, and our identification with the Lord Jesus Christ in his crucifixion. They thought, oh, we got rid of him. No. He was identified with humanity, you know, in his sins and in the fallen state, you know. So that will happen at that time. Now, so we see that we are crucified with him, right? Now, we were also, he was made sin for us. The Bible says the Lord Jesus was made sin for you and I, and for the world, really, you know. When the Lord was on the cross, man could only see the physical man called Jesus hanging right there, you know. That's what they could see, right? But God, our Father, could see his spirit, you know. Even angels could see his spirit. Even demons know of that real man, hidden man in him, you know. Then, of course, on the cross came that occurrence of that great moment that was in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that says this: for he has made him to be sin for us. You see, union with Christ. Even, you know, in his sin and so on, he came to identify with us. For he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that thing fulfilled a prophecy that was given by the Lord Jesus, Isaiah 53, and I want to read from there. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isn't it any wonder? If that one in a continuous sense, tells you that, you know. That was in past tense, but by side we are healed, continuous tense, you know. That speaks a volume of what a wondrous thing he has done for us, for the physical man too. The Lord did not only become sin while on the cross, he became a curse. As we are told in the scripture, Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For, you see, for us, he did it. He made a curse for us, our union with Christ, right? For it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree, the Bible says. Now, this explains why the Father turned his back against the Lord. And the Lord cried in agony on the cross in Matthew 15:34. Why will he turn his back against him? What the Lord cried in Mark 15:34. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We know why. The reason was that he had taken the sinner's place in judgment. The reason was that our sins was laid upon him. As our sin substitute, he became sin. Like I read before. The death of his agony can only be fathomed by the spiritual man. The flesh can understand what the Lord was going through on that cross, really, you know. Apostle Paul expressed his desire to share this death agonies of the Lord when he wrote by the Holy Ghost in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. So he wanted to know, to partake of that suffering, I don't know that, you know. He wanted to fellowship the Lord's suffering, if you will. But he could not really, you know. No one could do it, really. Not even angels could do it. It was God's own work that must be wrought. But after the God's own work, that must be wrought. When God surrendered his son to death, the Lord God Almighty unveiled a love that's beyond description. That will happen. Now we can now understand John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See? Now, so we see right there. So, and he was made sin for us. Not only that, even in the union, he was made sick on our behalf. Because of what? He was made sick. Because the next step in this union with the Lord is the awful drama described in Isaiah 53, verse 3. I go back to Isaiah 53 again. Verse 3 says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our grief. See, identify with us. He has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I know I come to that verse again before. That's okay. Says meeting of God. Yes. God might have, you say God smite him, right? Yeah, he was meeting of God. We might use the romance, yeah, but he himself is the one that smite Christ on our behalf, really. Smiting of God, the Bible says, he was stricken, smiting of God with our sins and diseases upon him. He was put upon him like that, that he might deliver us, that he might redeem us. That was laid upon him the diseases and sicknesses of the human race. Verse 10 says so. Isaiah 53, verse 10 says so. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. That's our grief, the grief of the human race. He did it for all of us. It pleased the Jehovah, that's what it means, to bruise him. He has made him sick on behalf of all of us. So our Lord was not only made sin and separated from the Father, but the diseases of the human race fell upon him. I want to go back to Isaiah 52 now, verse 14, more about this thing the Lord has done for us. 52 of Isaiah, verse 14. As many were astonished at this, talking of the Messiah when he comes, his visage was so mad, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. I want to read another rendition of that verse. I always say with King James version of the Bible, but I want to read another rendition of that verse in another place, in the margin of what they call the cross-reference Bible. Here's what it says. Just as many were amazed over him, and princes on his account shuddered, were astonished and appalled, amazed, frightened. His visage was so mad, unlike to a man, and his form unlike to the sons of man. So deformed was his appearance, not to be a man, and his figure no longer resemble a man. And that's the edition of that verse. So where all these verses of the scripture depict the spiritual suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of humanity. This was when his hidden man of the heart, that is his spirit, became not only sin, but sickness. This was when our sins and diseases were laid upon his spirit. When we understand that he was made sin, and that we were identified with him on the cross, then what happened? We will grasp the reality of his substitutionary work for us. This truth I'm talking about here, to many, many Christians today, has been more of a doctrine instead of a reality to many Christians today. And it ought not to be so. The time has come where we must not only grasp the truth of what he has done for us, appropriate them, and claim them for our life and so on. But, you know, not only was our sin laid on the Lord Jesus, we ourselves were laid on him. The old man was involved, meaning in this sacrifice. The Lord's spirit, soul, and body were all involved. We were nailed to the cross with him, according to the scriptures. Our diseases became part of him. He took them all away. Now, the reason we are doing this, recognition of this truth I'm talking about this morning, by the child of God, we mean the end of the dominion of disease. Amen?
Amen.
Well, we really, really understand and appropriate. That is the end result, really, you know. For if the Lord was made sick with our sickness, Satan has no legal right to put disease upon us anymore. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can always free ourselves from Satan's power. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
He did all of that for you and for me, you know. As Christians, our mortal body is now filled with the life of God. You know what the Bible says about this? 2 Corinthians 5, 4 says so. It says this, for we that are in this tabernacle, we do groan, yes, being burdened, not for that we will be unclothed, but clothed upon. Now, what is one? That mortality might be swallowed up of life. We receive from the Lord Jesus eternal life. Even more scripture on that. In Romans 6, chapter verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. See? That verse I just read now literally means that sin shall not lord it over you and me. Amen? Praise the Lord. How it means? Neither shall sickness or disease or pain lord it over you or me anymore. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is the redemption of Christ. It's full redemption. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, understanding that Satan has lost his dominion, he did already. Only you and I to recognize it, and even as he did, you know, so when that he has lost his dominion, it means he cannot put disease upon me or you. He has no legal right to do it. We have to understand that some sicknesses are spiritual in nature. Not all diseases are the same thing. Some of them are spiritual in nature. If I cut my leg, that's not spiritual, right? And it's bleeding, right? And I become sick in my leg, you know, that's a different one. But there are indications in the Bible that some diseases have a spiritual nature in it and things like that, you know. That's why the Lord will tell somebody when he heals them, go and sin no more, right? That is a spiritual sin to that kind of thing, right? So praise the Lord Jesus. So in such cases, then the world sees sickness in the body, but God sees sickness in the spirit. That is spiritual sickness too, you know what I'm talking about, you know. So God heals us through his word. That's what the Bible says. No, that is in 107, the church in the wilderness, verse 20 of Psalm 107. God's word healed by, you know, he heals us by his word. 107 verse 20. He sent his word and healed them, he said. It is the word that heals our spirits. Bible says so. The Lord himself in John 6:63 verse. It is the spirit that quickeneth, that it makes alive, right? A quickeneth, you know. The flesh profited nothing. The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life, the Lord said. It is the word of God that recreates us, like I said before, when we renew our mind, right? And it is the word of the Lord that produces faith in us, you know. So, that is in Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that is a physical sickness, that is a spiritual sickness. You know, God's work can heal both, amen? Praise the Lord. God what can heal both and all kinds. You know, it is the word of God that unveils to us the new creation that we are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says so. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Again, it is the word of God that brings healing to a sick spirit. That can be a sick. Many times we have to be healed inside out. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, your spirit has to be healed, then it gets to your soul, then to your body. Sometimes we need that kind of a healing, you know, in our life, and something that, you know. And it's all done by the word of the Lord. When we understand that we were nailed to the cross and died with the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are buried with him, as I'm going to read the Bible later, we are buried with him, really. We suffer with him. Then we are made alive with him, as you will see. We are justified with him, as you will see. Conquer Satan with him, as you will see. Raised with him, as I will read later. And then finally, we are seated with him, as I will read later. We will no longer struggle to have faith and sin, that you know, or to be righteous or to be holy. Yeah, that's a good fight of faith, either, you know. I'm not talking about struggling. No. You know, so we talk about it later also, you know. So the whole program of the Lord's substitution is made real to us by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. According to the scriptures, all these things are ours now, not tomorrow, not yesterday. Right now it's ours. In Ephesians 1:3, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." We need to seek it out. We need to ask the Lord and claim that which belongs to you and I. God has already done it, and so on. Here's another thing. Another union with Christ. We died with him. No, we died with the Lord Jesus. The Bible says we died with him. The Lord Jesus died. In fact, two types of death on the cross. There are two types of death. And he died, both of them, on the cross. You know. Isaiah 53 verse 9. I will read that verse here. Talking about his death. He died two deaths on the cross. Isaiah 53, 9 says, "And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death." Now, when he said in his death, some authority declare that word death in Hebrew is in plural, meaning death. You know, I think I believe that. So, some Hebrew translations say death, you know, telling us he died more than one death on the cross. So, what are the two deaths then? What are the two deaths? So, the truth of the matter is this, that the Lord first died spiritually before he died physically. That really happened there, you know. And the Lord, before he carried our sins, before our sins were laid upon him, there is no way that body he came in could die. Praise the Lord. I say it again. That body was neither mortal or immortal. The body he came in was the type of body that God gave Adam in the beginning before the fall. That body was neither mortal nor immortal. He couldn't die. That's why he himself said to us in John 10:17, the Lord said, "Declare it. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." So what am I saying is this. Only when our sins were laid upon the Lord Jesus on the cross, that is when our sins took possession of his spirit, was he able to die, you know. In other words, Jesus had to die spiritually before he even died physically. Just like the first Adam. The Bible says that the day that you sin, then you will die, right? So, and we know when they disobeyed the Lord, meaning Adam, and something that you know, they died that day. We said it two times, how many times, you know. That day, physically, 24-hour day, Adam died, and you died spiritually that day. Then in the Lord's counting of one day within 1,000 years, he died physically, right? So man died 2 times, right? He died physically and spiritually and then physically, you know? So where the Lord didn't commit anything, he told the Jews, how many of you can commit me of sin? Even his enemy, nobody could say he committed anything, right? He was only made sin for us. Praise the Lord Jesus. He committed no sin. The Bible says that he knew no sin, was made sin for us, you know? It's our sin that he carried. When he took on our sins, then he died spiritually, see? And then physically. That what happened to him, I told you, you know? So anyway, so that what happened in India. So now, yes, go ahead.
So at this point, the spiritual event, the
okay, what is spiritual there? Separation from God. My God, my God, why are thou forsaking me? Because he hid our sins. That's simple, you know. That's spiritual death right there. That's it, that, you know. Yes. Anybody who has not received Christ, it says, see, now God paid the price, you know, for every, he stated death for every man, right? But each person must receive it personally as a savior, you know. I said that over many times. A pardon is not a pardon unless it's accepted, right?
Yeah.
It's a godly principle, really, you know. So it's a godly principle, you know. So yes, it takes death for every man, but each person must accept that pardon personally, you know. Anybody who has not fellowship with God is in spiritual death. Exactly right, you know. So you don't have fellowship with God, that's spiritual death. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, okay, so, and other scriptures reveal that the human race died with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in Romans chapter 6, verse 8. And I read that. Now, if we be dead with Christ, you see our union with Christ, right? In all dimensions. See that with there. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Union with Christ, even in life, you know, I'm talking about, you know, to live with him. 2 Timothy 2:11 says the same thing. It is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with Christ, we shall also live with him. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus was our substitute. I keep on saying that. We were one with him on the cross. I always like to think this way. When he was on the whipping post, he had me in his heart, you know? And he had you in his heart too. And you worry, you know? So on the cross, he had me right there, you know? So like you and me in his heart, and so that, you know? We were one with him on the cross. We were one with him in his death. He died under our judgment. He died in our stead. He died because he was made sin for us. Even prophecy foretold that because we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, there can be no more judgment for us. Amen? As many as have received Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, there can be no more judgment whatsoever. Prophecy foretold that, and the Lord himself foretold that. Let's see the prophecy in Isaiah 53 again. You know the prophet that says that when we receive Christ, there's no more judgment for us. Verse 10 of Isaiah 53. Yet it pleased the Lord to put him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, see that, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. All written 700 years before the coming of Christ by this prophet. 700 years before the coming of the Lord, and so that, you know. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide his spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and bear the sin of many, and made intercessor for the transgressors. Let's talk a little bit about that scripture. The Lord poured out his life unto death, yes. We were made alive through his death. Our sins slew him, and his righteousness gave us life. He drank the cup of death for us, that we might drink the cup of life. In his mighty ministry before he arose, filled by God's grace, and near the maybe next month or something in the time of the Easter, we might talk about more about what happened on that cross to the time when he rose from the dead. I think we did it before, but it'd be very, very a blessing to see what he went through using scriptures, what he went through in those 3 days and something like that, before on the cross, before he rose from the dead. Anyway, in his mighty ministry, before he rose from the dead, the Lord destroyed death's lordship. Amen? He did. When death slew him, death slew itself. Praise the Lord. The Lord conquered sin when he allowed it to overcome him. The Lord conquered Satan when he let Satan gain the mastery over him. The Lord conquered disease when he let disease take possession of him. He became one with us in spiritual death, so as to make us one with God in spiritual life. We're talking about the believer's union with Christ in all the tragedy before man. Christ was there and redeemer. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, when I say that he became one with us in spiritual death, to make us one with him, with God in spiritual life. 2 Corinthians 5:21 is a common scripture for everybody. For he has made him to be sin for us. I keep on reading that scripture. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He became one with us in weakness, one with us in sin, one with us in disease, and one with us in spiritual death, that we might, that he might make us one with himself in righteousness, in perfect health, and fellowship with the Father. He became death prisoner in order to set us free. This thing the Lord did for us. He was our union with him. In the mind of God the Father, we died to sin and his dominion when we died with Christ. That's how God saw us. That's in Romans 8:7. For he that is dead is free from sin. So what I was saying was that, in the mind of God our Father, so when we died in Christ and some of that, so we have been freed. So Romans 8:7 said that for he that is dead is free from sin. We are free from the lordship of death. At the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, there was in God's mind a perfect oneness of Christ with us. That's how he sees us in Christ. And in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and our new birth in Christ, in the mind of God, there was a perfect oneness of us in Christ, in God's mind, Father's mind. So just as the Lord conquered death by submitting to it, we in the new creation conquer Satan by submitting ourselves to the Lord Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. That's simple. God makes it so simple, We and our diseases, if I don't know, were laid upon the Lord Jesus and became a part of him when he was mixing with our sin. We are healed by becoming partakers of his divine nature. Amen? One Bible says, by these precious promises, we are made partakers of the divine nature. The word of God is what has healed, right? We read that before. The word of God is, he sent his word and he healed them, both spiritual and physical illness are all healed by the word of the Lord. Disease and sickness do not belong to the new creation according to the plan of God. It is an abnormal thing in the mind of the Father for a child of God to be sick. Yeah, in the mind of Christ, it's abnormal, really, We die with Christ. We die to the dominion of sin and of disease. We die to the dominion of circumstances and habits. The scripture I want to read right now becomes a reality to you and I. as we just get out of God's word. What is in that? Second Peter, I like that scripture a lot. 2:24. See? I hear what it says. Second Peter 2:24. What does it say? Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. See that union? That we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. See, you are healed. Quoting Isaiah the prophet, you know, all these things that he did for you in this union. When he say we being dead to sin, what does it mean? It means our utter oneness with him in sin and judgment on the cross. It's death. That is the spiritual death he took upon himself, and our spiritual death were identical. He took it over and gets rid of it for us. He died twice, like I said before, on that cross. He partook of our spiritual death first, then we were utterly one with him in that judgment. He was judged for us. Then he said we should live unto righteousness. Right? That means that we might partake of his righteousness as he partook of our sins, that we might be the righteousness of God through him. So you see the union of the believer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Perfect redemption, to the uttermost that he did for us. You know? Now, then there has come this marvelous statement that the Bible says, by whose stripes you are healed, in that 1 Peter 2:24 that I read before, the Lord not only took our sin nature, but he took our diseases. That's why Matthew 8:17, that chapter of miracles that he did and so on, that then I have to refer to he did another healing in there. Then the Bible now refers to that might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. I'm telling you, by the grace of God, when anything happens, that was for me, I will go to that verse all the time. Amen. Jesus took this infirmity. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shout it upon the housetop. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, you see, the word of God, if you don't speak it, it just lay there. For it to be, you have to speak it, For it to be, you have to activate it by speaking it, amen. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Activation. It lay dormant, It's powerful, and it's quick and powerful, but you must speak that word and so on to your circumstances. There is no situation in your life in this encounter. When you find God's word for it, it must be resolved. Amen? Mm-hmm. It will be resolved. Praise the Lord Jesus. God's word was designed to do that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Mm-hmm. To solve any kind of problem you may ever have in this world. That's why the Lord said, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Praise the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. Let us learn to just walk by the word of the Lord. He took over our diseases. He put them away. When he put our sins away, Christ has died once and for all as our sin substitute. He, in judgment, made the demands of justice for us. He did. He took them with him when he went to the place of substitution, the place of judgment, the place of suffering. We were once one with the devil. Yes? We were once one with the devil. But the Father laid our spiritual debt upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father now sees us in Christ as perfect, as the finished work of the Lord Jesus is perfect. Amen? Mm-hmm. One Bible says, we are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Amen? You are complete in Christ. Don't let no man tell you anything. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. In Christ we are made perfect. We are perfect. We are made perfect. Ephesians 2:10 says this. For we are his workmanship. I want to back up what I said. That the Father sees us in Christ as perfect, right? As the finished work of Christ is perfect. So I'm backing up at Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So, the work was wrought by the great master workman, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? He did it before he arose from the dead. In those 3 days, He accomplished infinitely great things for us. Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. The Father sees us now in all our beauty and perfection in the Lord Jesus Christ. This beauty I'm talking about is the Lord God's own beauty. He made us to please His own heart. The Lord did it for us. We die to sin once and for all in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we die for sin once and for all in the Lord Jesus. We died to Satan's dominion. We did. We died to the old habits that held us in bondage. We do not need to die again. I know people will contest that with me and say, well, Brother Paul said that I die daily, right? That is in 1 Corinthians 15:31. People can contest that when I say we don't have to die again, you know. I say, but I die daily. Well, when you look at that verse of 1 Corinthians 15:31, what Paul was saying is this, he is speaking of, his presence before physical death, actually, you know. The expectation that tomorrow he might be in the lion's arena, you know, or the animals, and so, you know, he says, I fall with peace in Ephesus, you know, all the kind of things like that, you know. That's what I was talking about today. When I say I die daily, not to come and die spiritually again when you have received Christ, you know. So a child of God, not go back to spiritual death anymore, you know. So we see that right here, you know. Let me quickly round this up right now. So all the Lord has done for us is ours. So we are all. The Father made us one with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He did. One more thing with the Lord, about union. We were buried with Him. Amen. What a mystery. Mystery of mysteries, right? Yes, there are so many mysteries in the Bible. One day we're going to go about it. What mystery in the Bible? All kind of mystery in the Bible. You know, the mystery of godliness. I'm going to talk about that. One of these days, God willing, you know. Now, we were buried with Him. Colossians 2:12. Buried with Him. See, that's the word buried. Union with Christ. Buried with Him in baptism. Wherein also we are risen with Him. Come back to that again. Through the faith of the operation of God who has raised Him from the dead. Another thing. We were made alive with the Lord Jesus Christ. All over the place. That's the next verse now. Colossians 2:13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has He quickened together with Him. See, that's union. Quickened, made life. Quickened means to make life, to make alive. Quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Wonderful. Don't let that devil accuse you of anything. Amen. And forgive us all trespasses. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we see right there. Now, even more in Ephesians, talking about being made alive with Him. Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. See? So, another one in that section, Romans 6:5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. So this should give us, children of God, an utter fearlessness in the presence of all kinds of diseases, or even before Satan himself. Fearlessness before all the powers of darkness, even in Luke 10:19, I like that one also. No matter what did I come up with, I give unto you power over all. I like that word in the Bible, over all the power of the enemy. No matter how the war is raging against you, even about all these things, receive the devil, he will flee from you. Amen. It's a strange thing that many of God's children are free from the devil. Maybe they encounter him or until we are changed and something like that, you know. He may go for a season, we know that, you know. And when they come again, we do the same thing. Resist him, Bible says, even steadfastly in the faith, amen. Because he will come back again one way or the other, you know. But you'll be persistent too. He will flee each time. Praise the Lord. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Failure comes when you look at yourself. You and I are not matching the devil on our own. But in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the child of God was born again yesterday. with the name of the Lord Jesus in his lips, we change the highest hierarchy of demons. Amen?
Amen.
That's the word of the Lord. Praise God.
Amen.
You are the empowered to do that. So now, let's okay, wrap up this right now. So we see. Let us go out today, you know, every other day. Let us arise and take our place as victors. Amen? And as conquerors. That's even later what the Bible says. The Bible says we are more than conquerors. Amen?
Amen.
When I say as conquerors, I'm believing it. We are more than conquerors in all these things, according to the word of God. Let us go out and do the work that Jesus began to do when he was here. You know what? You know, what he's doing now is doing through the church. He is the head, right? You know? And, you know, look at your head and your body. My hand is moving something. Even science says that where these are controlling, they are coming from the brain, right? All the movements of your eye, movements of your leg, they are controlled for your brain, right? The head, right? The Lord just is the head of the church, right? He functions these days after he went back to heaven through the church. Now, he said, I'm the true vine, right? And ye are the branches. So we are the one bearing the fruit of righteousness for him, amen? Praise the Lord. So the branch won't bear the fruit, right? So the body of Christ bear the fruit. He is the truth and we are the branches. That's another sermon. Let's go on. Now, he conquered Satan for us. This was the greatest event of the eternities. The eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was justified. We know that. Made alive in spirit. And put off from himself. I'm paraphrasing one of the Colossians verse now. Away from himself, the principalities and the powers, making a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He triumphed over Satan. He conquered the host of hell. He stripped Satan of the authority and dominion that he had taken from Adam in the beginning, that he stole from them, that he usurped, you know, from Adam at the fall. And just as we were identified with the Lord in his crucifixion, in his death and burial, when he was made alive, when he was justified, so were we with him, you know, in that victory over the adversary. Yeah, we were with him in it, you know. When he conquered Satan, we were with him, you know. It was our victory. Not his really. It was our victory that he did it for us. He did not need to fight that battle at all. He did it for you and I. Amen?
Amen.
Let's take advantage of it all. Praise the Lord. How do you do that? Knowing these things and believing, just simply a childlike faith, amen? Unless you be converted and become like a little child, amen?
Yes.
Not only on our salvation, but in all the things that pertain to God. God in simplicity. Let us stop making things complex for ourselves in this work, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
See? No, let us just take God's word as it is. It will never fail you. The fear will be to you. No, it will never fail. Say, it will not fail. Anyway, so he did for us and so on. When he conquered the adversary and stripped him of his authority, it was as though you and I did it in the sight of God, in the mind of the Father. We are Satan's masters today, brethren, just as the Lord Jesus was when he arose from the dead. Just as the Lord Jesus conquered the adversary during his earthly walk, you can conquer that devil today, any place, anywhere, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can do it. It means our mastery over all the works of the devil. You know, it means that we are expected to do the works that the Lord Jesus began. That's why John 14:12 will come alive more and more as the age closes. Amen. When we know our life, he that believeth on me, see, the work that I do, shall they do also. Amen. And even better, what I shall do. So, and so that, you know, as we close the age right now, you know, and today when you just a leap of faith, we just call it's happening. But we want it to be more, you'll be quit us, amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. So we see that one. It is time. You know, it is time. It is time that we appreciated what God has done for us in Christ. That's why I'm talking about this thing this morning. Time to appreciate what God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is time that we appreciated what it means to be a member of this glorious body of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is time that we appreciated, you know, the position that you and I hold in the body of Christ. You know, he has given us His name, Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. That's why in my name, Mark 16, amen. They are true. The word of God is living, is alive, amen. Praise the Lord. God help us with the opportunity to use these things. Praise the Lord Jesus. You know, so how to use the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do not make the mistake of any more. Try to go against him on your own. No, it is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether I be deceased, so whether I be the devil or demon, so the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the key to everything that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when the Lord defeated Satan, it was our victory. We are now the righteous victors. We are Satan's masters in the name of Jesus Christ. We now reign as kings in the realm of life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:6, somewhere there. Satan cannot lord over you or me any longer. No. Disease is under your feet and under my feet. We are new creations, sons and daughters of the living God. There should be no problem about faith or no faith and so on. We are his children. You are his child. You are his daughter. I am his son. As long as you know. All things are ours, like I said before. 1 Corinthians 3:21 says so. All things are yours and mine. We need how to claim them, you know. We need to have faith. You know, we need not have faith for what is already mine. If I have this cell phone right now, what kind of faith do I need to really have it again? Doesn't make sense, right? All the things God has given you, just receive them and use them, amen. Praise the Lord. What's already owned, why do you have to struggle to have faith for it? You know, that's the thing, you know. That's how God, how simple God has made things to be for us, you know. So the rather, let us thank the Lord and go out and enjoy the fullness of this marvelous redemption. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. Just take as a child the promise of God. Got a few more lines to read here. So, we were raised with him. Another scripture here, talking about union with him, right? We were raised with him. Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ. See that word with again, risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. And he put if there. We know we are, amen? No, we know we are. And we are seated every day. We are raised together. We know that. In Ephesians 2:6, which we have read before, and has raised us up together. See? So we know we are raised together with him already, you know? And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, one of the greatest messages of our perfect redemption or victory over the adversary is found in Ephesians 1:19. That's a very deep book, this Ephesian book. One can spend all of his life just read that book alone. It's just in 1:19 of Ephesians. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us world who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Like I said before, he is the head, right? The head controls the body, right? So, because we are his body, he has put all things under your feet. Praise the Lord. That's simple. Praise God. So, and today, when the believers know, I'm finishing up now, when we believers know that we were raised together with the Lord Jesus Christ, when we know that, really know that we know, and we are acting on it, we will know that we are victors in every field and every circumstance, and we may go on from triumph to triumph. Amen. When we read assimilate, not in our head now, but right in our spirit, we know this thing. There are something we know in our head. He hasn't entered our spirit yet. We do not do the thing, understand the things of God by our head. No. We interact with the physical environment with our five senses. When it comes to the things of God, They are spiritually discerned. Got to know them, our spirit. Praise the Lord. That's why we need to meditate upon the word of God. Yes, you have to use your eyes to read it, and all those kind of things, but it must enter your spirit by meditating upon it, and then become, you know, people have spent months and weeks on a given verse of scripture, you know. You see, think about that, you know. I have seen preachers and so on, they will spend weeks just reading one scripture, maybe a prayer in the book of, you know, Ephesians, things like that, you know. I'm showing you how little we are doing, maybe myself inclusive, in meditating upon the word of God. Praise the Lord. Let us spend more time. In his word, does he meditate when? Just once in a while? Day and night. Amen. See the victory of David right there? In his word, does he meditate day and night? When you can't sleep at night, get the word of God in you. Amen. Sometimes you can't sleep at night, right? It happens. It could be due to many, many things. Instead of looking at the ceiling and running around, no, come on. I mean, think of a scripture and be thinking upon it. Even your sleep will come, really, amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. So that meditation is very, very important. As finish this morning by the grace of God, I have to waste more time. So God has lifted us believers above all rule and authority and power and dominion, not only in this age, but in that which is to come. Now the last one, in another 2 minutes, we sat down with him already. In the mind of God, we are already seated with Christ in the mind of God, you know. After the Lord had been made sin, and he had paid the penalty for our relation with the devil, after the Lord had suffered all that justice demanded of us, our Lord rose from the dead with us. We are raised together with him already in the mind of God. And Ephesians 2:6 again, he made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus in the mind of God. We already stayed with him already, you know. This was the highest honor that God can bestow upon a man, to be seated with him. Even the Lord said in one place, he that overcometh shall sit with me in my throne, right? As I also overcame and I seated with my Father in his throne. Plenty of promises and so on, and reward, you know, as children of God. So then we can serve him with gladness day by day. So like I said, not only are we seated in the highest position in the universe, more than the president of the US, they call it the most powerful man in the world. Can't match the list of Christendom, amen? The list of the Christians, praise God. We are the rulers of the world to come, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. We shall reign with him, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us put that in our mind day by day. All spiritual blessings have been given unto us. In the mind of God, every one of us believers, you know, is now in Christ now. He sees us in the Lord Jesus. When we go to the throne of grace in prayer, it's as though that the Lord Jesus himself, I said before, about righteousness, right? Now, you are standing before God as a Christian when you know your life, just as righteous as the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's our righteousness, right? I don't have your own. He is your righteousness, right? You have the same standing before God the Father as the Lord Jesus, and that which has done for us. Praise the Lord Jesus. I got one or two scriptures to close here. So now, Colossians 3:3 says this. So I finish here. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. That union. See that union again? With Christ. And in God. So, right there. So we are hidden from the adversary, but we are visible to God. So our life is hidden. What are we afraid of, really? My life as a Christian, your life as a Christian, is hidden in Christ with God. Satan can't even touch it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Next verse, you know, Colossians 3. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him. That union, eternal union with Christ, amen? Eternal, praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Appear with him in glory. Even in Jude 14, concerning the prophecies of Enoch. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. See? Now, that's not the rapture. That's not the rapture. I want to clarify that as my closing point here. Say, you don't come with when we appear with him. That's not the rapture. So we appear with him because he first of all raptured us. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. So we have to definitely be raptured from that one and some of that, you know. When I appear, we have been gone at least 3.5 years or more than when we appear with him. He raptures us first, you know. The event of the rapture, I close with this scripture, is in this scripture here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. That's the rapture event. So, and I read that to her in closing. It says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." And I watch again. "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." The eternal union. Praise the Lord. With the Lord. Union with the Lord Jesus. The believers, union with Christ. Right to the very end. To the place in Revelation 14 where we go with him wherever he goes. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Father, we worship you and we glorify your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's a way of, call it a Bible study or exposition of whom we are in Christ, really. Lord, you know that we take our rightful position by faith. Everything by the Lord is by faith in the name of the Lord Jesus. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of the Lord. And know our privileges. Lord, we thank you for blessing us. Reading your word is a blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus. As we go this morning, Lord, let it, we haven't wasted our time here. I say, I've never said to the house of Israel to seek me in vain.
Amen.
Lord, let the Holy Ghost expand to our hearts, Lord, as we meditate upon them and walk day by day as more than conquerors. Never to be afraid of any circumstances in this world anymore. God has not given us the spirit of bondage to fear again, but the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. In the mighty name of Jesus. Because we are living in the age the Lord talked about, where men's hearts will be filling them for fear just by looking after those things that are coming to happen in the world. And what things are coming, said the Lord. What they have seen so far, said the word of the Lord, is just the beginning of sorrow. Guard your loins, said the Lord, my children. Guard your loins, sir. Look up, your redemption draweth nigh. I will never leave you or forsake thee. I have assured your heart. Look unto me, and watch for the soon coming of thy Lord, thy King, and thy Savior. For as my word has said, it's even at the door. The day and the hour thou shalt not know. But I've shown you by so many infallible proofs that you are in that season. Look at the word seen. Look at my prophecies. Look at what I said in Matthew 24. Look at what I said in Luke 21. They are all happening. Lift up your head and live for joy. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We worship and we adore you. We commit everything we need to your hand this morning. Even by hearing these scriptures now, oh Lord God, your word promises us the same word, say you will supply all our need. Know ye not the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Even though he was rich, the creator of all the universe, he became poor, identified with us, left all those riches in heaven, and became poor that through his poverty we might be rich. Lord, we thank you, Father. So you are going to supply all our need. I commit every need. We are still to ask anyway. Lord, I ask for every need represented here this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, you said the earth. You know what is in the mind of the Spirit. And you do even make intercession for us, Lord. Whether for this physical or spiritual, Lord, you know them all, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus, meet all those needs this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Your desire is that our joy be full. If there be anything in our life or our family or our relation that is sapping our joy in any form or shape this morning, in the name of the Lord Jesus, Father, I cast all this burden upon you. In the name of Jesus, casting all, not some of them now, all our care upon him, because you care for us. Help us to understand that you care for us. You say, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lord, we thank thee, Father. And we are not taking this body with us. Now we leave it with the Lord. In the name of Jesus. And Bible says now, Bible says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God. And then the peace of God that passes all understanding is guaranteed to keep our heart and mind to our Lord Jesus Christ. So let it be so with every one of us this morning. as we live. Father, in Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you for your patience. Praise the Lord.